Hey, it's Melissa Moore, and welcome to Mile High Magazine. Happy to have you with us on this Sunday morning, and super happy to have my friend and just the best guy around, Kevin Peterson, with me. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist and also founder of the Chronic Hope Institute. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. I want to talk a little bit about post-dry January, because I think a lot of people have questions. A lot of people are wondering, how do I know if I have a problem? I don't know if you saw that story with Amy Robard and TJ Holmes talking about how much they drank a day.
No, I didn't, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, one thing, he said he had 30 some drinks a day and she had like 18. And he's like, I think I need to reevaluate my relationship with alcohol. And I'm like, okay, all right, let's talk about that, because I think people maybe did take a closer look at their drinking in January and say, huh, do I have a problem?
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, and so the question really becomes, so you did dry January, you got through Thanksgiving and Christmas with all the drama in the family system, you know, which led you to, I think I need to quit drinking in January, which I totally understand and support. Now the question is, how do I know? I mean, it's sort of the old question, how much is too much?
Right.
You know, where do we draw the line?
Right.
And so, the simple response to that is, you know, see how you feel. You know, so you went, let's say you actually did it. You actually went through the month of January with absolutely no alcohol. What I would recommend is try doing, when you go out, try doing two drinks. And when I say two drinks, I don't mean two big gulps. Okay. Okay. I always love it when the clients come back and they're like, I only had two drinks. I mean, they're massive, but I'm like, no. So two beers, two glasses of wine, two cocktails for the evening, and see how that goes and see what happens. Because see, how we define alcoholism, okay, is that once we start drinking, we can't control it or stop.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have two drinks and you can go through the night and be like, oh, I had a glass of wine with dinner. Maybe I'll have another one. Maybe I won't. I'm fine. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Then I would say you are what we call a social drinker.
Okay.
You know? Not worried about that on any level. However, if you find that once you go back into, okay, it's February and here comes Valentine's Day and I think I'm going to need some drinks, if you go back into the excessive amount of drinking, and we can define that as well, then we need to talk about, do you actually have a problem controlling how much you drink when you drink?
Okay. Yeah, talk to me about the excessive part.
So, you know, there are some government guidelines which talk about, I mean, I honestly, they're great. I mean, I'm glad there's something. I don't really pay attention to them. What I tell people is, look, here's what I want you to do. Like I just said, let's try two drinks and see how it goes. And let's just be honest. And by the way, you know, when I say two drinks, we have to agree that we're also not doing any marijuana or any other drugs.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you can't be chewing edibles all night and then saying, but I only had two beers, you know.
That's a little different.
Yeah, that doesn't work. So what we want to be able to do is maybe keep a chart and start looking about how much we're drinking. And if we can do the two drinks, and if one night you have three, it's no big deal. It's not the end of the world. If you start going over four or five in an evening, and you're doing it maybe, I would say, more than once a week, you probably need to take a look at that and say, huh, I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah.
And why am I doing that? And I think that's where a good therapist would come into play. And not even an addiction therapist, just a therapist that would say, okay, why do you need to drink to a point where you're getting a little loopy once or twice a week? What's going on there? What's generating that behavior pattern? That's the kind of stuff we want to look at.
Right. And that's probably the hard stuff that people don't want to look at.
Well, sure, because, you know, alcohol and drugs is about changing your mood and changing your feelings and changing your behavior. You know, people drink because they want to enhance something or tamp something down or hide from something or push something. And so that's the thing I would say that we really want to take a chance. You know, we really want to take a look at. So if someone comes to me and says, hey, I've noticed I'm drinking a little bit more than I normally do. I didn't get arrested. I'm not in trouble. The world's not coming to an end, but I'm getting a little nervous about this.
Yeah.
I would say, okay, cool. First things first, let's go back to either no drinking whatsoever. Because as a therapist, if I'm going to work with you, I need to have a baseline of who you are emotionally and mentally when you're sober. I don't want you to show up to my office drunk, but if you're going through the process of drinking and then not drinking and then drinking, the emotional roller coaster that you're riding, mm-hmm. that's not the true person.
Okay.
The true person is going to be the person that says, okay, for this week, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do any drugs. I'm going to show up. And I'm going to tell you all my feelings and all my emotions. And I got depression, anxiety, I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm upset, I'm lonely. That gives me stuff to work with mm-hmm. as a therapist. And that tells me, oh, okay, I noticed that on Friday and Saturday nights when you go out with your friends, you're lonely and, you know, and you're scared. And so the way you handle that is by, you know, having some marijuana or having some cocaine or having alcohol. So how about we explore those feelings and those emotions? I'm not saying you shouldn't drink or
right.
do anything like that.
Right.
I'm saying why does it take 6 drinks or 8 drinks for you to get to a space where you're okay with who you are and what's going on? That's the question we have to ask. And of course, people don't want to talk about that.
I was going to say those are the hard questions of life right there.
Yeah. And so that's really what for someone like me that does this kind of work, that's the kind of stuff we're going to do. That's the kind of challenge we're going to have is being able to guide the client and say, hey, I'm a little concerned about where you're at and what's going on. Can we talk about that? I'm not telling you, you know, you're good, bad, shame, or anything along those lines. I'm just saying I'm noticing some behavior patterns, and how about we talk about that together?
And how is that met? For somebody who has maybe been covering up feelings with alcohol for years, how do they feel about that?
You know, it's really interesting. If they can actually get to my office and sit and talk with me, they're like, yeah, no questions asked. And I'm not going to stop doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, at least I've got you to admit it, you know,
right.
because, you know, most people are like, I don't have a problem. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to talk to anybody about this. But if a loved one or an employer or the legal system gets involved and says, hey, we've noticed that you get yourself in a little bit of hot water.
Yeah.
You need to talk to someone, you know, ideally, it's sure we can do the technical side of it and say, well, this is how much you should drink and this is how much you shouldn't drink and blah, 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 blah. But the real question is getting behind that and saying, so, hey, what's going on? You know, mm-hmm. what's the story? Why do you feel like you need to get to a space where you don't remember what happened?
Yeah, yeah.
And let's talk about that, because that's really where the good stuff is.
Right, right. And I think that's where, looking back to Dry January, it's always interesting, the people that are posting about it and talking about how hard it is. And I get it. I mean, if you're a social drinker, the thought of not drinking for a month, you're like, wait a minute, I always have this with dinner or a glass of wine or whatever it may be. I get that it's tough, but it is interesting to read people's different insights that they find about themselves.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, generally the first week is always kind of like the, wow, I feel great. Oh my gosh, this is so awesome.
Yeah.
And then the second week is like, huh, okay. All that stuff that I was trying not to think about is suddenly coming to the forefront of my life.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then the third week tends to be what we call the white knuckle, where they're grabbing onto their chair so hard you can see the whites in their knuckles.
Yeah.
They're like, this sucks.
Right, right. Hold on a minute. Yes.
And then the fourth week tends to be like, okay, I can just gut it out. And then the question really becomes, okay, so you did your Dry January. What did you do afterwards? Did you just have a drink mm-hmm. or did you go get drunk?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people are now. They're like, hey, I made it through last month. What are we going to do now?
Right. And how do we adopt this? And how do I know if I have a problem? And who should I call? And how does this work? And blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And you know, by the way, as someone who's been in recovery over 32 years, I'm all for Dry January. I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, for people that are wondering or, you know, what do they call it? Sober curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm all for it. I mean, hey, it's a great health thing. I mean, some of the leading experts are really coming forward and saying, we want to be clear. There's no benefit to drinking alcohol.
Yes.
You know, that big hoax or that big lie. They're like, oh, a glass of wine's actually good for your health. No, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's not. And so, you know, if you're really considering knocking that out of your life for whatever reason, hey, go for it. If you're having trouble with it, ask for help. That's what we're here for.
And I think what I've heard from a lot of people is socially, they don't know how to be socially without having a drink in their hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so the therapist in me would say, oh, let's talk about what you're doing socially and why that has to be necessity.
Yeah.
You know, who are you hanging out with and what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And Because, you know, there's plenty of places you can go and things you can do where that's really not part of the plan,
yeah.
you know.
Yep.
But when you're looped into that society, when you're looped into that system, you can't see outside of it.
Well, and I think it's so interesting because every TV show out there, everybody's always going out for happy hour and having cocktails, and there's always alcohol at dinner. And it is interesting because I always look at that and think, man, that is a lot of alcohol that's portrayed in society.
Well, and then if you watch those shows, that's when all the drama starts.
Yes.
You know, I have to readily admit that I'm fully addicted to the Below Deck series. You know, because what do?
Right.
You know, the guests get hammered and make idiots out of themselves.
Yep.
And then the crew, when they're off, go out and get drunk and make fools out of themselves. And I find that somewhat entertaining. I mean, maybe that's a guilty pleasure. But then there are times when I watch that and I'm like, oh, that guy's got a problem.
Right.
You know, I mean, I can see it. That guy or gal really needs some help.
Right.
You know?
And then it's not funny. It's not funny watching somebody that you know has a problem drinking.
No, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. And then you got to be able to reach to them and say, hey, you know, I'm noticing some stuff. Can we talk about it? I'll do it with you. I'm here for you. I want to do it. You know, let's be together on this.
Yeah.
And support each other. But you're right. In society, that's definitely part of the gig. You know, there's no questions asked. But, you know, that's where, you know, again, someone who's thinking maybe this is something I need to reconsider, a good therapist will help you learn how to sort of stand on your own two feet and establish that I'm not going to do this. And you can still wade back into the happy hour pool and see how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, have a drink or two, see how it goes. And then maybe you're like, yeah, this isn't for me.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know I have gone long periods of not drinking, and I'll do club soda and lime and put it in a cocktail glass and I'm fine. You know, I like having something to hold as I'm talking. And I know that about myself because my hands are flying all over the place. But, you know, it doesn't have to be alcohol. And that's the difference. Sometimes I feel like as society, there's so much pressure to drink. And if you don't drink, there's always that question, well, why don't you drink? What do you tell people to say when that they get asked that question? Because for some people, that's kind of a trigger.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, at this point in my life, I'm like, because I don't.
Right.
But I think early on, it was, you know, people, you can just say, hey, you know, I'm just taking some time off. Health reasons, trying to lose weight, trying to get in better shape, just kind of keep my head clear.
Yeah.
And just decided to take some time off, you know, not drinking as much and taking a look at myself. And, you know, if somebody has a problem with the fact that you're being introspective and practicing some self-care, you need to consider who you're talking to.
So true.
You know, and what kind of relationship you have with that person. Because,
you
know, we should be supporting each other when we're trying to take better care of ourselves, not criticizing.
Absolutely. And I do think it's interesting that people feel like they have a right to ask why you're not doing something like drinking.
Kidding, right?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to me. I'm like, what does it matter what I'm doing with my body and my person?
Oh my gosh, it's so true. It's so true. It's like, you know, first of all, it's none of your damn business.
Exactly.
Second of all, you know, I'm taking better care of myself. And if, you know, again, if you don't get the immediate, hey, good for you response, then you might want to consider who you're talking to and whether or not that's a real friend.
Right.
And
I just wish we lived in a society where we didn't say, hey, why are you not eating that big fatty dessert? Or, you know, we don't say that. But if it's alcohol, for some reason, we feel like we need to point out that they're not doing it.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you know, when you watch somebody with a, you know, four donuts in their hands and they're shoveling them down and it's like, huh, all right, whatever.
Right, you know? Right. But somebody says, oh, I don't want to drink. And then it's like, oh, how come?
Yeah. I mean, when you go to the party, you're like, yep, no donuts for me. And they're like, oh, all right, whatever. But,
right.
But no wine for me. They're like, what?
What? You're not. Yeah, you can be like shoving four donuts in there, no problem. But it's just so interesting to me, the things that we feel like we approach people on that could be such a personal decision for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, the only thing I would say is that I'm willing to bet that the person who's questioning you probably feels threatened.
Yeah.
And so they have a little something going on internally where they're like, oh, wait a minute. If you do that, then I have to look at myself, right. And I don't want to do that.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, it's always about the person asking the question.
Oh, yeah. It always is.
We could go down that road.
Yeah. Hey, trust me. You know, let me tell you what it's like to be, at a party or on an airplane, and someone's like, so what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I specialize in families that struggle with addiction. They're like, really nice talking to you.
That is too funny. Kevin Peterson, licensed marriage and family therapist, as always, thank you so much for being here. Love talking with you. I'm Melissa Moore. It is Mile High Magazine. Thank you for being here on this Sunday morning. For more information, go to your radio station's website, and I'll see you back here next Sunday. Have a great weekend and be kind to everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.